Just before Dan comes up to speak, we'd like to read the passage of Psalm 22. So if you have your Bibles there, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted in you and delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. Amen. Dan will now speak on the passage.
Well, there's a famous quote which says, adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. And that's true, isn't it? Our characters can be so easily held together in times of peace, when the world is seemingly all as it should be. But when suffering, when trial comes, that is when our true characters are revealed. I know it myself. When hardship or suffering comes, I can see the cracks within my own character. And it's so often the case, isn't it, with our leaders, with the top influencers of society, that when times of hardship, when times of suffering come, times of adversity, their true character is shown. So often they fall, they crumble under the weight of adversity. And maybe you feel the same here this evening. And this week, as I've been preparing, as I've been listening and studying this psalm, my heart has been gripped. It's been gripped. And tonight, I want us to see from this psalm how there is one person who has coped, who has stood under the most painful times of suffering that no one has ever experienced or imagined. And through his time of adversity, he is shown to be righteous. He is shown to be faithful all the way through. His character has been proven to the limit, and it's been proved to be true. And at the end of this evening, I want us to be able to go home worshipping and praising Jesus with all of our hearts for what he has done, as we see his suffering, as we see his glory and his majesty. But you will see, if you've got your Bibles open to Psalm 22, at the top it starts with, "For the director of music, to the tune of Doe of the Morning, a psalm of David." This is a psalm that King David wrote nearly 1,000 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. And we should remember, as we go through this psalm, that David did go through many tough times of adversity during times in his life. And many of these verses that we read in this psalm of suffering and distress, I'm sure David would have deeply felt during his life, when he was on the run or he was out in the wilderness, when his enemies were coming, they wanted to kill him. I'm sure he would have felt some of these verses in the psalm. But as you probably saw, as you probably heard, as it was read out, this pictures the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus in such incredible detail. It says they hurl insults at him, shaking their heads. "He trusts in the Lord," they say. "They pierce my hands and my feet. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." Isn't it incredible? And so when we're reading this, this is a prophetic psalm outlining the suffering, the affliction that the Lord Jesus would receive and experience. And when Jesus was on the cross, don't we read these exact words quoted in Psalm 22 as it begins? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Do you know, these words are almost incomprehensible. That Jesus, bearing our sin, our guilt, was forsaken. He was deserted, abandoned by his Father as he pours out his wrath upon Jesus on the cross. And no doubt those standing around Jesus, watching him, as he hears Jesus cry out these words, would have recalled this psalm that we're reading this evening. Because Jesus was testifying that this psalm that we're about to go through is about him. It's about him. Let's start from verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest." Here we see the sufferer is completely isolated, alone, crying out, finding no rest, forsaken by God. And maybe you think, as you get to the end there, maybe now he will give up. Maybe here he's reached his limit. He's going to give up. But you know, when we move on through to next verse, we find that this suffering king recalls God's faithfulness. Says that God is holy, verse 3, "yet you are enthroned as the Holy One." And he recalls the history of Israel. "In you," verse 4, "our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." The king here still has confidence in God. He's recalling the history of Israel and how God saved his people, delivered his people, rescued his people repeatedly throughout history. Still, the suffering king is proving to be faithful, proving to be righteous, still saying his trust is in God. And this is what we're going to see up until verse 21 of the psalm, how the king will explain his suffering, and then immediately afterwards, he will show his righteousness, his faithfulness, because of his trust, his strength in God. Verse 6 continues, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." Do you know, here we see the king is humiliated. He is mocked, scorned by those around him. He says, "I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people." This king, he's not only experiencing being forsaken by God, but it also seems that he is bearing the full force of humanity's hatred towards him. It says, all who see me, mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And again, if you read the account of the crucifixion in Matthew 27, it describes this exact picture. Matthew picks up on this. In Matthew 27, verse 39, it says, "Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads." This king is being mocked and insulted, and they target his trust in God, his faith in God, his relationship with God. Let the Lord rescue him. And you see, maybe you get here now and you go, maybe now he'll give up. Maybe now his limit is reached. And yet, verse 9, how does this king respond? "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help." This king, he is still set on trusting God. As before, he's pointed to the history of Israel, how God has rescued and delivered his people in the past. The suffering king now appeals to his own personal appeal, his own personal point of view. This relationship that has been since he was in the womb, since he was a child. Because he knows that God has been faithful to Israel. And now the king says, "I know God has been faithful to me." He can look back since he was born and he can say, "God is faithful." Still, despite him being forsaken, being mocked and despised by everyone, this king is still proved to be righteous when he is being pushed to the limit in his adversity. What is being proven here is his continual faithfulness and righteousness. And we move on to this last description of his suffering in verse 12. "Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is turned to wax. It is melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death." here, this suffering king again. He is being encircled by his enemies. Enemies described in this psalm as powerful animals, powerful beasts, ferocious animals. They encircle him, try to intimidate this king. And do you remember in the Gospels when a whole battalion of soldiers, that's about 600 men, they encircle Jesus and they beat him and they mock him, putting the thorn of crowns on his head. His suffering has led to him being poured out like water. He is giving up everything through this, everything that is within him. Bones out of joint, heart turned to wax, it's melted. His mouth completely dried up. And how does it end? You lay me in the dust of death. This king is going to have to prove his faithfulness and righteousness to the very end. He's going to have to prove it to death. This suffering is going to end with him being laid in the dust of death. And again, his suffering continues. Verse 16. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. Again, we see the king encircled by his enemies. Do you see that? They pierce his hands and his feet. They have crucified him. They've crucified him with all his bones on display. This public spectacle for everyone walking by just to look at him. Watching this event take place. And in verse 18, they divide my clothes and cast lots for my garments. Again, we read this, don't we, in the gospel accounts of the crucifixion. His enemies are looking to profit from his suffering. What gain can they get from his end? And now, maybe now, you're going, maybe now he's going to give up. Surely now he's going to give up. Maybe here his limit is reached. Do you see in verse 19? Do you see it? But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. This king prevails, and his righteousness has been proved. He's been forsaken by God as he's carried our sin. He's had God's judgment poured upon him. He's been mocked and insulted by man, and it seems now he is defeated by death. But still, his confidence, his strength comes from God. I mean, this is incredible. Adversity has shown this king's character as true. It is beautifully righteous. It is wonderfully perfect. Even with the extent of suffering that our minds could not even imagine, could not comprehend, he remains faithful. He remains faithful. But now, as we carry on through the psalm, the tone changes. We have here from verse 22 to the end in verse 31 a song of praise, a victory cry. Let's pick it up from verse 22. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel, for he is not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. Praise him. Honour him. Revere him. Or to stand in awe of him. Why? For God has not despised, he's not scorned the suffering of this afflicted one. You see, this relationship is now restored. God has turned his face toward him. He's listened to his cry. The one who we read was laid in the dust of death, he has now been delivered. God has seen his righteous suffering. There is triumph here. God has defeated those enemies that encircled him through this righteous suffering of this one royal ruler. His enemies have thrown everything they had. Everything they had, they've thrown it at him. But this righteous king, he remains faithful through it all. And do you know what? Isn't that what we know? Jesus, our righteous royal ruler, who defeats God's enemies of sin and death through his suffering and affliction. But we also celebrate Christ's triumphant victory, his deliverance through his resurrection. And as we move towards the close of this psalm, it's not just the ones that we see who are in the assembly praising him that are to praise the Lord. But 27, verse 27, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him, that's descendants. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn that he has done it. He has done it. Do you know, because of the work that we read of Christ on the cross, he deserves the praise of everyone in all the earth. Everyone from every nation, whether dead or alive, will bow before this king. Why? Because he is the only one worthy of praise. And it says they will proclaim his righteousness. That is the thing that they are going to proclaim. Isn't that interesting? Do we proclaim Jesus' righteousness? We often forget it, don't we? We often forget it. But this psalm says that this will be the one thing that we won't forget. This is the one thing that we will proclaim. His righteousness. Do we realize here this evening the perfection, the utter holiness of Jesus? And not just realize that Jesus is righteous, but through his work on the cross, through his resurrection, we all here this evening are covered by his righteousness, his perfection. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Can I urge us here this evening to treasure that? To go home, to think upon it, and to praise him for that. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn that he has done it. That he has done it. And that's a wonderful way, isn't it, to end the psalm. Because that is exactly what Christ has done. Defeating his enemies of sin and death, bringing his people back into relationship with God, he has done it, and only him, because he's the only faithful one. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have someone that's worthy of praise? Not like so many of the people in the world that we praise. There's someone that deserves it. as someone who's worthy of it, utterly worthy of our praise. The one who we know is righteous and faithful in the face of adversity and a suffering on a scale we cannot imagine, whose character doesn't crack, who doesn't give in, remains faithful and true, remains consistent, whilst bearing all of our sin, being forsaken by God the Father, and receiving the wrath that we totally deserve. And so for us this evening, I hope that we've seen from this psalm that we have a Saviour, we have a King, who when put to the kinds of adversity that we have just read through, remains faithful. And he went through that because of his great love for each and every one of us. Isn't that incredible? This is the Saviour that we can walk out of here this evening praising. And that's what we remember at Easter, isn't it? We proclaim him, our King, who has died and suffered for our sin. And it doesn't end there. We know he's been raised. He's raised victorious to cover us with his perfect righteousness. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him and proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn that he has done it. Amen.